I'm Filthy and You're Gorgeous. Written by Derry Derry Down. Read by Opal Song. The thing is, Sid's filthy. Or he's pretty sure he would be if somebody would just give him a chance to be filthy. The other guys pick up puck bunnies and come back with tales of threesomes, foursomes, moresomes. Tales of orgies and broken furniture and girls doing things that Sid's pretty sure are actually anatomically impossible. They have bites and cuts and bruises, and their clothes are stained in ways that Sid can't understand. When he picks up a puck bunny, they want romance. They want vanilla. The one time he worked up the courage to suggest maybe they try something a little more interesting, the girl just patted his cheek and told him not to worry. She wouldn't tell anybody he was boring in bed. Once, one of them burst into tears and told him her cat had just died. He spent the night being shown photos of Mr. Megan's while she wept on his shoulder. It isn't fair! He resorts to porn. He starts off watching men dominating women, but a few videos in, the girl's crying is a bit too convincing, and he starts thinking about things a bit too much, and it suddenly stops being hot. Then he tries women dominating men, but that's just... well, he doesn't think it's possible to dominate someone while wobbling around on 9-inch heels with a shiny latex thong digging up your butt. Then he stumbles across men dominating men and... oh, yeah. Turns out that's what he's been looking for. It takes him a little longer to narrow it down. He's not into twinks or bears. He's not into bizarre scenarios or elaborate equipment or humiliation. He likes, well, normal-looking guys. Guys who are just playing around a bit. Guys who look a bit like hockey players. Which is when he realizes that maybe he isn't as heterosexual as he'd assumed. And maybe other guys don't have to rush through their locker room shower so they don't get an unfortunate boner. It explains a lot, actually, now that he thinks about it. He thinks maybe he should be having an existential crisis about it. On TV, guys usually have trouble coming to terms with their sexuality, or whatever it's called. In the end, there are more important things to worry about. Flower's not performing as well as he can, and the press are turning on him, and Sid needs to be there to remind Flower that his save percentage is well above the league average, and he's started 23 consecutive games, that it doesn't matter if he's having a slump, because they all do, and he'll pull out of it because he's Flower. Amidst all that, if Sidney has an existential crisis, he doesn't notice it. His approach to coming to terms with his sexuality is deciding one night that, if he is a bit gay, then he should probably investigate taking it up the ass. He figures he'll have to work up to it slowly, maybe just a fingertip while he's jerking off. Half an hour later, he's got all four fingers up his ass. He's whimpering and wishing his fingers were longer because there's something there that he can almost reach, and fuck, he wants to. He needs to. There's got to be something he can use. But there's the safety issue, and he can't miss optional skate tomorrow, and he ends up just jerking off and feeling bizarrely unsatisfied. Before he goes to sleep, he spends an hour on a specialist website and orders pretty much anything that looks interesting. He makes sure to use the credit card that's just S. Crosby, rather than Sidney Crosby, and quadruple checks that the order will be delivered in plain packaging. He doesn't shower before he pulls the sheets over himself and turns his face into the pillow. His bed smells of sex. He smells of sex. And he feels sweaty and revolting, and he thinks that it would be nice to curl up against somebody who smelled the same. When his order arrives a few days later, in a disturbingly large box, he takes it straight up to his bedroom and tears in. And, wow, he'd bought a lot. Now it's here? He doesn't even know what to do with half of it. He's not even sure which toys need batteries. And what type of battery, and whether he ordered enough. For a moment, he's not entirely convinced that the packing peanuts aren't something he ordered. He decides to start small, with something that proclaims itself to be a beginner's basic anal prober. It's curved and flared and ridged in ways that don't resemble a cock in the slightest, and it's significantly bigger than it looked on the website. Bigger and more purple. He digs through a box. A lot of them are purple. Purple or matte black? Weird. But he gets out the lube, fires up his favorite porno, takes a deep breath, and goes for it. And holy fuck, this is so much better than his fingers. The ridges are fucking perfect against his prostate, lighting him up with each twitch of the toy, and he squirms on the bed, the toy moving inside him, and oh, fuck, fuck, fuck! This is amazing! This is the best fucking thing ever, and he totally is as filthy as he'd always thought he was. He comes before the big Russian guy on the porno has even gotten naked. He watches the rest of the porno anyway, probe still up his butt as he lazily plays with his cock. When the sub on his laptop screen tastes his own cum, Sid idly does the same. Then he pulls a face and spits it out. Yeah, that doesn't work for him. As the porno approaches its climax, he plays a bit with the probe, and he's not going to get hard again, but it feels good. He doesn't want to take it out. He wants to sleep with it in and wake up still feeling it. But he's not sure whether it's designed for that. Once the porno's done, he leans over to shuffle through the box next to his bed, and, okay, he needs to be more careful moving around, which suggests he really shouldn't leave the probe in overnight. There's something called a beginner's basic butt plug in the same purple, and the packaging says it can stay in for hour after pleasurable hour, which sounds about right. Taking out the probe is weird, and he doesn't quite know where to put it. He ends up putting it back in the plastic packaging it came in, just as a temporary measure. The butt plug slips in easily, and it's comfortable in a way he wasn't expecting. He shifts experimentally, and it's not intrusive, it's just, well, reassuring. Does that make any sense? It's a little reminder that there's more to him than people think. A little reminder that he's a filthy pervert, and he's covered in his own cum, and he's got a box full of sex toys next to his bed. He lies back on his bed for a moment, and giggles. He washes the probe before he goes to sleep, carefully following the instructions about soap and warm water and the antibacterial sex toy cleaner that he'd ordered. Then he tucks it into the top drawer of his dresser, along with his socks and underwear, and settles down to sleep in his filthy, cum-stained sheets. In the morning, he leaves the butt plug in as he fixes breakfast. As he settles, very carefully, onto the hard stool at his breakfast bar. It's not even necessarily sexual, he decides. It just feels good. Satisfying. Like a muscle complaining after he's pushed himself that bit further than he has before. But then he shifts his position and, oh fuck yes, that's sexual. He takes the butt plug out before he starts his workout, though. There are lines. He takes a couple of toys on the road trip. He's rooming alone, so why not? And then he starts thinking that it's only a short flight from New York to Washington, just over an hour, and they've got a night in a hotel before they play, and he's got the perfect butt plug with him, medium verging on small, lots of interesting curves, and a low-profile base that's easier for sitting on. Also, less likely to be visible through his pants. Fuck. He's going to walk around in public with a sex toy up his ass. He is so awesomely filthy, he makes himself proud. And of course he's doing this. It's easy at first. The bus out to the airport, getting onto the plane, settling into his usual seat next to Flower. Takeoff is a little bit interesting, but there's a storm on that has got a few guys tensed up, so it passes without notice. A half hour into the flight, the PSP battle turns physical. Tanger crashes over Duper in an attempt to get to Flower, but Flower just crouches down, making a play of hiding behind Sid as though he's terrified. Tanger takes it as an invitation to crawl over Sid, and the extra weight on Sid's lap does things to the butt plug that make him gasp and his eyes widen. Tanger's off him in a moment, and Flower stops laughing. "You okay, Sid?" Tanger asks, and Sid does his best to wave it off. "I got your elbow in my balls," he says, leaning forward in a way that hopefully hides his growing boner. "I didn't know I'd have to start wearing my cup on the damn plane." "Jesus, no, don't," Flower says quickly. "I can smell it when it's in the hold. I don't want it next to me." "The plane would run out of puke bags," Duper agrees, which wouldn't matter because the pilot would pass out from the stink and we'd all die in a fiery burning crash, Cooney joins in. By the time the insults fade away, Sid's boner has also faded away, and when they land, he's able to walk off the plane and onto the bus without a problem. It's still a relief to get to his room and take the butt plug out. He feels kind of empty without it, but it was a stupid risk to run, and he's lucky he got away with it. They win 5-4, a hard game, fought right down to the last seconds, when Sid passes to Gino, who manages to tap the puck past Holtby before sprawling over Ovi's stick and going face first into the boards just as the last period ends. "Dirty fucking play," Sid spits in Ovi's face, ignoring his obviously feigned look of offended innocence. But Gino's back on his feet in seconds, skating to Sid with open arms, and Sid turns away from Ovi for the hug, Gino hanging all his weight off Sid and Cooney. "Fucking good pass," Gino yells in his ear. "Fucking good shot," Sid yells back, and he doesn't understand it when Gino just laughs at Ovi as he skates away, when he should have been complaining about Ovi's interference. "We win," Gino says, once they're on the coach back to the hotel. "Why bother? He lose game. Nothing worse." Gino's jaw is grazed, his lip cut, and already swollen. He's going to have one hell of a bruise. But he's right. They won. Some of the Pens go out that night. Some of them stay in their rooms. Some of them crowd into Sid's room with beer and a pile of pizza. Sid isn't sure how his room was chosen, and he kind of wishes it hadn't been. But he copes with it. Lies on his bed with Gino on one side and Duper on the other, and catches up with the hockey news. Tanger and Flower are on the other bed. Cooney and Cookie are sprawled on the floor, arguing over the last slice of pizza. There's a pile of unopened boxes on the table, but that would involve standing up. "I'm done," Duper says, and drains his beer. "See you fuckers for breakfast." "Sure," Sid says, while Cookie complains at the prospect of actually getting up at a reasonable hour in the morning. Sid isn't looking, but he hears the creak of the door and Duper's groan. "You've got company," he calls as he leaves, and Sid looks up to see Ovi, the door shutting behind him. Gino sits up. "Hey, you come see what it like be with winners, yes?" he calls with a grin. "I come to drink your booze," Ovi says, and picks up a beer as he picks his way over Cooney's outstretched legs. "Although now I see it, perhaps I better not bother." He thuds onto the bed next to Sid. "You shitty host, Sidney Crosby." Sid doesn't say anything, but he drains his own beer and stands up to get another. When he comes back to his bed, Ovi's claimed his spot in the center, and he and Gino are talking together in Russian, all big gestures and laughter, and Sid doesn't like the way Gino is around Ovi. More honestly, he doesn't like that Gino isn't like that around him. Except he kind of likes his Gino better, with his quiet smiles and easy-to-miss jokes. Perhaps he just doesn't like someone getting a Gino that he doesn't. Sid kicks Flower over and joins him and Tanger instead. Flower embraces him in a too-tight hug, face buried in Sid's neck. "How much have you had?" Sid asks, but Flower doesn't answer. Sid doesn't actually care that much. They haven't got a game tomorrow, and Flower can practice with a hangover, as long as he doesn't puke on the ice. Ovi seized control of the remote and is flicking through the stations. "We get porno?" he calls. "No, we don't get porno," Sid says, and Gino takes the remote off Ovi, sets the TV to a radio station playing Top 40. It's enough to make Flower roll over and heave a massive sigh. "I'm going," he says. "You did good tonight," Sid says, but Flower doesn't look convinced. "Four," he says, and it's not right to see Flower looking down. "I gonna beat on my boys," Ovi says. "They should get more passed. They set up, but never slam at home." He punctuates the word slam by thumping the mattress, then points at Flower. "Is your fault I hear as loser." Flower ignores him, but he looks a bit less miserable as he heaves himself to his feet, taking Tanger with him. Kunitz and Cookie follow, and then Sid's left with Gino and Ovi, when all he wants is to go to sleep. Oh, screw them. He strips down to his boxers, ignoring Ovi's grin at the way he neatly folds his clothes, then crawls into the bed he's been banished to. He likes to sleep in the bed furthest from the bathroom, but no, fucking Russians have invaded. He's just dozing off when Gino says, "Hey Sid, Sanya borrow phone charger?" Sid sighs and says goodbye to sleep again. "Left pocket on my bag." And it's a moment too late when he remembers what else is in the left pocket. He shoots upright, but Ovi's already going in the pocket. Ovi pauses, glances down into the pocket, then across at Sid, and there's an expression on his face. Surprise. Interest. Sid doesn't know what it is, except that it's sharp and it's aimed at Sid. But Ovi doesn't say anything about that. Just pulls out the charger and says, "Thank you, Sidney Crosby." And Sid thinks he might survive this. Just. Finally, Gino yawns and stretches, and he switches to English when he says, "I go to bed now." "Take Ovi with you," Sid says, and Gino laughs. "I not take Ovi to bed with me," he says, "but I take him out of your bed." "Good," Sid says. "I piss first," Ovi says, and Sid looks over to see him patting Gino's cheek. "But you go to bed, Zenya." Gino seems to consider it for a moment. Then he lurches to his feet. "Night, Sid," he says, and adds something in Russian to Ovi. The room seems very quiet when Gino's gone. Ovi makes no move to the bathroom. "Are you going?" Sid asks, and he's not sure he likes Ovi's answering smile. "Interesting toy in with phone charger," he says. "Yours?" Whatever Sid answers, he's done for. So he just says, "None of your business." And his mouth is dry, and his heartbeat is speeding up, and he doesn't like Ovi, but there's something in the man's expression. "Could be my business," Ovi says, and it's light and casual. "If you want it to be. If you want something, not a toy." Sid sits up. "What are you saying?" Ovi shrugs. "Want to fuck?" And Sid is filthy. Sid has a drawer full of sex toys, and he's had all kinds of things up his ass. But he's never had a cock. Sid is filthy, and Ovi is filthy, and it makes sense for them to be filthy together. And that's why he says, "Sure." "Cool," Ovi says, and pulls his shirt over his head. At first, Ovi seems determined to treat him gently. "Small toy," Ovi says, easing a single finger into Sid's ass. I be careful. He grins, gap-toothed and smug. I not small. Small toy because I had it in my ass on the flight, Sid says, and grinds down onto Ovi's finger, calloused and hard and nothing like any of his toys. I've got much bigger than you at home. Kinky, Ovi says, and shoves three fingers in. Sid shuts his eyes and focuses on the feel, and he's got a sneaking suspicion that his toys aren't going to be as much fun after this. Shut up and fuck me, he says. And Ovi says, oh, Sidney Crosby, such a filthy mouth. But he eases his fingers out, rolls on a condom, and slicks up his cock, while Sid rolls onto his knees and elbows and gets himself comfortable. You not want to see my handsome face? Ovi says. I just want to feel your cock, Sid says, and he sounds like he's fallen into a bad porno. Makes a change, Ovi says cheerfully. So many boys just want to feel my wallet. And then he slides in, a single easy thrust, and oh, it's nothing like his toys. It's warmer and smaller, but he's not telling Ovi that until they're done. And he's not in control. Not at all. He's close to panicking for a moment. Not close to stopping, but fuck. Shoving Ovi on his back and riding him? Something that'll let him decide what's being done to his body? He doesn't like this. He doesn't like it until he does. Ovi's got one hand on Sid's hip, the other stroking from the nape of his neck to the small of his back. Sometimes with his whole hand, sometimes with fingertips, sometimes digging his nails in and leaving scratches. And suddenly Sid gets it. It's like when it's Gino's line on the ice, not Sid's. He can't dictate the play. He can't dictate Gino's reactions. All he can do is trust his team. And right now, he and Ovi are a team of two. With that, he relaxes, and Ovi leans forward and kisses his back, between his shoulder blades. Good, he says. You understand now. Sid just breathes a laugh into the pillow and pushes back against Ovi. Haven't got all night, he says. Could make you enjoy it so much if we did, Ovi says, and he sounds almost wistful. Could make you scream and beg. Sure, Sid says, and he knows he sounds breathless and not as skeptical as he'd like. Would tie you up, Ovi says, and moves his hand from Sid's hip to Sid's cock. Tie you up and maybe gag you? Not sure. Sid's cock twitches at the thought. No, probably not gag you. Would use your toys on you. Would tie you on your knees and fuck your mouth. Ovi bites Sid's back. You like that? No, Sid says, but Ovi ignores him. Maybe I fuck your mouth with your toys, Ovi says, and now he's sounding breathless. You do that, at home, on your own, when you play with yourself? You learn to take cock deep in throat? Sid hasn't, but now he wants to. Fuck, Ovi says, and he's thrusting deeper, harder, sounding wrecked. What fucking waste. You sitting at home with your fucking toys? Should be fucking real cock. Taking it mouth and ass and hand everywhere all at once. And fuck, yes, Sid can picture it. Can imagine how it would feel. How fucking amazing it would be. And he groans into the pillow. Looks so good at end of night, Ovi's saying, his hand tightening on Sid's cock. Covered in cum. All over chest, all over face, and still, maybe, toy and ass, Sid comes. It's not as good as when it's himself, but it's better. Which makes no sense, but he doesn't even fucking know anymore. Good, Ovi breathes, and his hands back on Sid's hip, his other hands on Sid's shoulder, his nails digging in deep, and he says, You gonna take it now, Sid. Gonna take it hard. Ovi's as good as his word, pounding in hard and rough, and Sid has to brace himself against the headboard, spread his knees wider to take it. And finally, too soon, Ovi gasps and comes. They stay in place as the moment stretches. And then Sidney lets himself fall flat. Ovi collapses on his side next to him. "Wow," Ovi says, and stretches. "You very fucking kinky, Sidney Crosby." "If you tell anyone," Sid says. And it's meant to be a threat, but he can't summon up the energy. Ovi pats his shoulder lazily. "I not tell. You stay secret, kinky." He leans in closer. "You really use toy on plane?" He sounds curious. "Yeah," Sid says. Ovi laughs. "I think you so boring. But you very much not boring. Can't believe anybody do that. More not believe, Sidney Crosby." He sits up and rubs his face. "You break my English." "Broke your winning streak, too," Sid says with a grin, and Ovi slaps his ass. "Only streak of two," Ovi says, "and Xenia break it. Off my assist." "You wear toy on plane tomorrow?" Sid shakes his head. "We've got to skate as soon as we land in Montreal." "Shame," Ovi says. "Like to think of it." He rolls off the bed and somehow manages to land on his feet. "I go home now. But next time you in Washington, me in Pittsburgh, we should fuck again, yes?" "Maybe," Sid says. He doesn't think he'd mind fucking Ovi again in a hotel, but he doesn't want it in his home. He lies there while Ovi gets dressed, and once he's gone, he makes the effort to stand up and lock the door. He goes back to the bed farthest from the bathroom, crawls under the sheets, and is asleep in moments. "Holy shit," Tanger says when Sid pulls off his shirt to get changed for practice. "What?" Sid asks. Then he catches a glimpse of his back in the mirror. Fuck. Ovi hadn't been subtle. Red scratches, bruises, and bites down his back, on his shoulder, and his hips going to be the same. "Where the hell did you go, and why wasn't I invited?" Neil Z demands, turning Sid around to get a look at his back. "Russian place," Gino says. "For best. You not good enough." The chirping distracts everyone long enough for Sid to get himself covered up. But he meets Gino's eyes and... Gino looks worried. Gino knows who left the marks, and Sid holds back in the locker room as the others head to the ice. "You want I speak to him?" Gino asks quietly. "Hit him?" "No," Sid says, startled. "He should not treat you like that." Gino lifts Sid's chin. Looks at the scratches around his neck. "Should not hurt you." "He didn't hurt me," Sid says. "It's all good." "If I know what he do, I not leave." "It's nothing I didn't want," Sid says. And he's so busy trying to reassure Gino that he doesn't think how that sounds. Until Gino blinks. "You want Ovi hurt you?" Sid can't tell which bit has Gino most surprised. That Sid wanted to be hurt, or he wanted to be hurt by Ovi. "Fuck," Sid says, and drives the heels of his hands into his eyes. He's too tired to cope with this. Not especially Ovi. Not especially looking to get hurt, just, he offered and it ended up a bit rough. He would have stopped if I'd asked. "I not know you fuck anybody who offer," Gino says. And he's not looking any less surprised. Which Sid can understand. I just... Sid sighs. "Stupid one-night stand. You've had them." Because Gino's come in before with a hickey on his neck, or somewhere else, looking somewhere between smug and bashful. "Not with Ovi," Gino says, but he's starting to smile. "I have really stupid one-night stands," Sid says. Gino's smile widens, and Sid thinks it's going to be okay. 2 days after they got back from the road trip, they scraped their way to a home win against the Devils in overtime. They gave away too many penalties. Their penalty kill had been weak, and practice the next day had been spent going over the film with Dan pointing out where they hadn't been sharp enough, where they hadn't controlled the play, where they hadn't played their hockey, and Sid getting more and more frustrated at seeing his mistakes. He burned off some of the frustration on the ice, more in the gym, and he's going to work off the rest this evening. He's got plans. New porno from his favorite studio, featuring the Big Russian, and a new vibrator. Except the new vibrator had turned out to be bigger than he expected. They always are. He should have learned by now. So he slipped in a butt plug to stretch himself a bit while he's cooking dinner. A vibrating butt plug, because it had been on the top of the pile. It's a nice size, enough to stretch him, but not too much to stop him from doing anything. And it vibrates randomly, which is pretty stupid when he's cooking, and shouldn't really be distracted. But it's less stupid than fucking Ovi, which has become his newest standard of brain-melting stupidity. He's just clearing up after dinner when the doorbell goes. He considers ignoring it. But it goes again and again with the kind of implacable determination that's not going to go away. It's Gino. "Was shitty game," he says. "And you still pissed when you go. So I bring beer and game film, and we get drunk and shout at Devils and Penguins and fix game." On any other night, when Sid didn't have a randomly vibrating butt plug up his ass, it would be a perfect plan. "You finished dinner?" Gino says, and Sid realizes he's still holding his plate. "Yeah," he says. "I'm just cleaning up..." Which is when the butt plug vibrates, and he has to take a sharp breath. Gino frowns. "You hear noise? Buzz?" Sid shrugs and tries to look nonchalant. "No," he says, and the plug stops vibrating. Gino shrugs, takes the plate from Sid, and says, "You go sit down." "Sure," Sid says, and heads for the bathroom. The logical thing would be to take the butt plug out completely. He's going to be sprawling on the sofa with his best friend, and that is not the appropriate occasion for a butt plug. But he's still planning on firing up the new vibrator tonight, so he needs to be stretched a bit. He compromises and takes the vibrating bullet out, but leaves the butt plug in. When he gets back to the den, Gino's got his shoes kicked off and his feet resting on the coffee table. There's a hole in his left sock, big toe peeping through, and Sid grins. "Come on," Gino says, and pats the sofa next to him. "We shout at Devils. Tell them they shitty players. That way we beat them." "We beat them because we were lucky," Sid says, but he picks up the beer Gino's opened for him and settles, carefully, on the sofa, puts his feet up next to Gino's. "Where's the remote?" he says, but Gino's looking at him thoughtfully. "You hurt?" he asks. "Didn't see you get hurt." "Just pushed it a bit too much in the gym," Sid says casually, then digs out the remote from between the sofa cushions and hits play. With Gino there, Sid can see the seeds of a better game, can see that the Devils had fought better than he thought, and that's some consolation for what he still remembers as a scrappy mess. But the Pens were showing promise in their penalty kill, more than he'd realized. For all they should have achieved the promise by this point in the season. 3 beers in, cheered up by Gino's insults, it isn't quite as bitter as it had been earlier. "I tell you, you feel better," Gino says, and stretches out, arms resting along the back of the sofa. His sweater is old, washed so often that it's soft against the back of Sid's head. Sid hums and rubs his head against it, lets his eyes fall shut. "You know what else good for feeling better?" Gino asks. What? Sid says, and he can feel Gino shifting next to him, but he doesn't open his eyes. And it's a complete shock when Gino's lips are pressed against his, Gino's hand on his cheek. Sid's eyes fly open, and he's pretty sure he should be pushing Gino away any second now, but fucking Gino may be even more stupid than fucking Ovi. But Sid is rapidly realizing that he really, really wants it. May have done for years, actually. And sometimes he manages to astonish even himself with his total lack of self-awareness. So instead of pushing Gino away, he pulls him closer, opens his mouth to the kiss, and he can feel Gino smiling against him. Gino pulls back far enough to say, "Bedroom?" But he's still close enough that Sid can feel the word. "Sure," Sid says. And then Gino pulls back farther. But he's reaching down to pull Sid after him, so it doesn't really matter. Sid leads the way upstairs, and halfway up the stairs, Gino pulls on his hand to stop him. When Sid turns around to see why, Gino rests his own hands on Sid's waist and kisses him. Like this, Sid's an inch or so taller, and when the kiss ends, Gino's looking up at him, and his eyes are gentle and full of something. Not the same something that was in Alex's. And that's when it hits Sid that, oh shit, Gino isn't filthy. Gino's kind and warm and, yes, driven and fiercely ambitious, but he's not filthy. Not with that softness in his eyes, as though he's finally getting something he's dreamed of. And Sid's got quite a few toys out in his bedroom, including the new vibrator, and he's got the new porno queued up on his laptop, and he is not taking Gino into his bedroom. When he leads them into one of the guest rooms, Gino pauses at the door. "Why not your room?" he asks, and Sid thinks quickly. "I stripped the sheets earlier," he says. "Haven't made it up again yet." Which seems to satisfy Gino, because he follows Sid into the guest room without another word, then pins Sid against the wall and kisses him. Something inside Sid goes all melty and gooey and happy, and he leans into Gino, one hand on his neck, and just gives everything up to the kiss. It's soft and kind and thorough, and everything that he already knows Gino is. And it's not filthy. But it doesn't have to be filthy for him to love every moment. Finally, Gino slides his hand under Sid's shirt, warm against his side. And it hits Sid that, oh fuck, butt plug. Gino's got to feel him stiffen, because he breaks the kiss, pulls away a little, and says, "All okay?" His lips are wet and reddened and a little swollen, and Sid swallows. "Fantastic," he says, and his voice is hoarse, so he clears his throat and says it again. Just thinking, will we need condoms? Lube? Because he has no idea how far Gino wants to take this. "Do you want?" And hell yes, Sid wants. And Gino must see it, because he leans in, places a kiss on Sid's mouth. "You go get," he says, and grins. "I wait here. Get ready." And he's already pulling his sweater over his head as he steps back, and it takes a moment for Sid to look away. "Fuck," Sid says, blinks, and manages to get out the door without jumping Gino. He grabs condoms and lube on his way through his bedroom, then goes into his ensuite and removes the butt plug, and clamps down on the temptation to slam his head against the wall, because he doesn't want another concussion, and he sure as hell doesn't want to explain getting a concussion like that. He is... Well, if he'd been going back to his bedroom to use his new vibrator, things would be perfect. Going back to his guest room to be fucked by his unfilthy best friend is going to take a bit more explanation. Okay, he thinks. He'll lube himself up. Which is actually pretty much unnecessary, rather than having Gino do it. Gino might even get off on it a bit. And it's not as though Gino's going to want to rim him or anything. Right. He takes a deep breath, squares his shoulders, and goes back to his guest room, where Gino is lying naked on the bed, playing with his cock. Fuck, Sid says, and pulls his t-shirt over his head. He's unfastening his jeans as he walks to the bed, and kicks them off with his underwear as he climbs onto the bed. Well, onto Gino. He's still got his socks on, but he's got more important things to do with his hands. Like hold Gino's head still and kiss him. Gino's cock feels amazing as it rubs against his, rubbing against his belly, and Gino seems to feel the same, judging from how he's moving and the noises he's making. The way he's got one hand in Sid's hair and the other on his ass. It's kind of automatic for Sid to let his legs fall open until his thighs are resting on each side of Gino's. But Gino seems to take that as an invitation, and his hand moves towards Sid's asshole, which Sid sits up, moves back a little, and Gino makes a noise as though he's been punched in the gut. What you want to do, Gino asks, is all your decide. Then he offers, you fuck me, if you want. And Sid thinks he makes a gut-punched noise of his own, because Gino smiles and rubs his hands up Sid's thighs. You want? And Sid does want. But right now, he wants Gino fucking him more. Next time, he says, without stopping to think that there may not be a next time. And Gino doesn't correct him. This time, I want you to fuck me. He pushes his hands up Gino's belly, thumbs just each side of where Gino's cock is resting. Like this, I want to ride you. Gino smiles slowly, takes hold of Sid's wrists. Sid starts to pull away, but Gino holds him still, and that really shouldn't make Sid's breath shorten. I do that, Gino says, and squeezes Sid's wrists before letting them go. Sid just sits there for a moment, staring at Gino's smile, before he says, right, condoms, lube. And then he has to look around because he can't remember where he actually put them. Turns out they're on the floor, where he must have dropped them, while he's getting them. And now that he thinks about it, the lube is kind of embarrassingly well used, considering he doesn't want Gino to know he's completely filthy. He takes his socks off. Because he has standards, and he is not going to have sex with Gino with his socks on. When he looks up, Gino's grinning at him, and Sid can't help grinning back. Very smooth, Gino says, and Sid throws a condom at him. Put it on, he says, and settles himself back over Gino's thighs. Gino holds the condom between index and middle finger and studies Sid's face for a long moment. What? Sid asks. Gino shakes his head briefly. Nothing, he says, and rips open the condom packet. Sid watches closely as Gino rolls it into place. This is never in the porn, and he hadn't been able to see Ovi doing it, and it turns out it's really fucking hot. Although, he's willing to entertain the possibility that it's only hot because it's Gino. Fingers precise and careful, and Sid thinks about what it would be like to have those fingers up his ass, and he lets out a noise that is not a whine. Gino looks up at him and grins. You want I get you ready? And oh, Sidney does. But he just says, I'll do it myself. Gino's grin fades a little, and he says, do it good. I don't want to hurt you. He pauses and says, hesitantly, unless you want. I don't want you to hurt me, Sid says. And Gino's expression lightens as he rests his hands on Sid's thighs and squeezes. Sid clears his throat and looks away from Gino as he says in a rush, "I don't mind, you know, a bit of scratching and biting, though. But not too hard." When he looks up, Gino is still looking relaxed, which is a relief. "Me too," Gino says, and pats Sid's thighs. "Come on, get ready. I wanna fuck." Sid rolls his eyes. "Bossy shit," he says. But he squeezes a dollop of lube onto his fingers, kneels up, and reaches between his thighs. Fuck. He's still so embarrassingly stretched that he could easily go straight to three fingers. But he takes it slow, makes a show of easing one finger in, and Gino's breathing deepens as he watches, chewing on his lower lip. Sid doesn't get it, until he thinks about what it would be like to watch Gino finger himself open, and then there's a rush of heat to his cock and he has to pause where he is. "No hurry," Gino says, and Sid shakes his head, breathless all of a sudden. "I'm good," he says, and leans forward, rests his free hand and his weight on Gino's chest as he slides in a second finger and wonders how quickly he can plausibly do this. And then Gino's hands on Sid's cheek, thumbs stroking under his eye. And fuck it, Sid isn't waiting. He shuffles forward and says, "Ready?" and doesn't bother holding back for a reply before sliding halfway down onto Gino's cock. And, oh, fuck, he swallows hard, rests some of his weight on his hands on Gino's belly. And he knows his eyes are wide, and seriously, oh, fuck. He realizes that Gino's saying his name and blinks. "I'm good," he says, and he is. He is. He is really fucking good. He doesn't know if it's the angle or if Gino's got the perfect shaped cock or what, but this is fucking amazing. "Too quick," Gino says, and Sid shakes his head. "No," he says, "it's..." He lowers himself a little more, and fuck! "No rush," Gino says, and he's looking worried, rubbing at Sid's thighs. Sid does his best to smile, but he doesn't quite have control of all of his muscles at the moment. "I'm good," he says. "I swear, I am really fucking good." He lets himself slide that little bit further until all his weight's on Gino's hips, and he rests there, getting the feel of it. When he looks up, Gino's breathing steadily and carefully, eyes fixed on Sid's face. "You good too?" Sid asks, and Gino's grin is unsteady. "Very, very, very good," Gino says, and slides his hands up to rest on Sid's hips, where he squeezes lightly. "You feel very amazing." All Sid can do is grin back as he rests his weight back on Gino's belly and eases him up a little, only to slide back down. "What works for you?" he asks breathlessly, and Gino laughs, a sharp burst of air. "You," he says, and it sounds so painfully honest that Sid pauses. But Gino continues. "You need move faster, but only if it not hurt you." Sid shakes his head. "Doesn't hurt," he says. And it does, a little. In a really fucking good way, but he can't explain it. So he lifts himself up again, pushes back down, and Gino's mouth is open now, his hands tightening on Sid's hips, and Sid wants him to leave bruises. He moves again, rocking almost in place. "Deeper?" he asks. "No," Gino says. "Not yet." Sid watches Gino's face and says, "I want you to come first." Gino doesn't say anything, but his hands tighten even more on Sid's hips. Sid leans further forward, more weight on Gino, and says, "I want to come in your mouth." And he's meant to be hiding just how filthy he is from Gino, but it's too easy to be honest with him. Gino groans, and he finally starts to thrust up into Sid. Only small movements, but oh, Sid hadn't realized there was something missing. He doesn't mean to, but his arms fold until his forearms are across Gino's chest, and he's got too much weight on them, but Gino doesn't seem to mind, so Sid just goes with it. Keeps going with it as Gino slides one hand from Sid's hip around to his asshole, and brushes a fingertip around the rim where Sid's stretched wide by Gino's cock. Sid lets out a strangled sound, and his arms give way completely, until he's lying against Gino's chest, his face pressed against Gino's shoulder, and he bites down on Gino's shoulder as Gino presses his finger inside Sid. He's had more, Sid tells himself. He's had bigger. This isn't anything special. It feels it, though. Okay? Gino asks. And Sid has to make a conscious effort to relax his jaw, to turn his head to the side and say, clearly as he can, yes. Good, Gino says, and bites gently on Sid's neck. Sid shuts his eyes and takes a deep, shuddering breath. You want more? Gino asks softly. And he's already got another finger pressing there, while his other hand rubs soothingly on Sid's hip. Can say no. I want it, Sid says, and Gino hums into Sid's neck. Good, he says, and his fingers pressing inside Sid. Can do one more, he says. I can take more than that, Sid says. Can't reach, Gino says, and he sounds apologetic, which is ridiculous. Position wrong. Then move, Sid snaps, and Gino laughs and slides his fingers out. Fuck no, Sid says, and he's struggling to sit up. Put them back. Moving first, Gino says, and rolls them over so Sid's on his back, Gino between his thighs. And the change pushes Gino deeper inside Sid, so all Sid can do for a moment is blink and try to keep breathing. Good? Gino asks with a smile, rocking his hips gently. Fuck you, Sid says, but he sounds vacant as he says it, so he slaps Gino's shoulder. Fuck you. Gino just laughs down at him, then plants a quick kiss on his mouth. More, Gino says, and lifts himself up, his left hand on the mattress, taking his weight as he pats Sid's left leg with his other arm. Come on. And Sid gets it, and manages to pull himself together enough to get his leg resting on Gino's shoulder. When Gino leans forward, Sid gets momentarily distracted by the twinge of pain at stretching too far. But Gino kisses him, and the pain gets lost in it. Then Gino's sliding his fingers back inside Sid, two at once, and Sid can't even gasp. He just stares up at Gino, and Gino's grinning back down at him, eyes bright. You like? More, Sid manages to say, and Gino lifts his eyebrows like he's actually impressed. Sure, he says. Fucking more, Sid says. You really hot like this, Gino says, and pushes in a third finger. Sid? It takes Sid a moment to pull himself together enough to say, yeah? I want you come first, Gino says, and pushes in a fourth finger, and Sid is gone. Full on, fireworks behind his eyelids, I've forgotten how to breathe, lightning through his nerves, gone. When he comes back to himself, Gino's got his hand on Sid's hip, and Sid groans at the, well, not emptiness, because Gino's cock is still pretty filling on its own. Okay, I fuck you still, Gino says, till I come? Sure, Sid says weakly. And there's nothing bad about lying there and just taking it until Gino kisses him deeply and shivers through his own orgasm. It's not as good when Gino eases free and collapses onto the bed next to Sid, but Sid figures that's the downside of cocks, as compared to toys. They still have their advantages, though. Like the way Gino drapes his arm over Sid's chest and kisses him. Good? Gino asks. And Sid laughs, probably sounding a bit more manic than he usually does, but, well, fuck it. Beyond good, he says, and manages to get enough muscle control back to pat Gino's arm. Way beyond good. He's not entirely sure how Gino's able to prop himself up on his elbow, but he does. And then Sid's watching as Gino swipes his finger through the cum on Sid's belly, lifts his finger to his mouth, and, oh, for fuck's sake, how is this so hot? Gino's smiling down at him, and Sid isn't going to be outdone, so he loads up his own finger and licks it clean. And yeah, it tastes just as bad as it did the last time. But it's worth it to watch the way Gino's breath hitches and his eyes get dark. And then Gino's leaning forward and kissing him again, even though Sid's still got his finger in his mouth. And Gino's tongue is so fucking hot against his skin, and Sid groans, pulls his finger away. I'm not up for doing that again for at least an hour, he says against Gino's mouth. But you are making me really fucking want to. More than hour for me, Gino says, and collapses onto the bed again. Maybe more than day. He nudges Sid. Fucking good, yes? He says, sounding smug. Yes, Gino, you're amazing. Sid says, pretending to humor him, but meaning every word. I stay night, Gino says, as though it was never up for debate. There's a part of Sid that wants to tie Gino to the bed and just keep him there forever. Gino nudges him again. Move. Need get in sheets. Sid manages to move around enough to get the covers over both of them, and thinks that he should probably object when he promptly gets wrapped up in Gino's arms and legs. But he really, really wants to sleep, so he just goes with it. Also, it's warm and comforting, and feels great. He gets woken in the morning by Gino falling out of bed, because Sid likes to take up the whole bed, and Gino is apparently too polite to stake a claim of his own. Ow, Gino says, glaring up at him from the floor. Sid shrugs and says, my bed, and wraps himself back up in the sheets. Gino mutters something probably uncomplimentary in Russian and uses the bed to haul himself upright. And then he leans over and kisses Sid. And Sid goes with it, because there are worse greetings in the morning. But when Gino pulls away, Sid wrinkles his nose and says, spare toothbrushes in my bathroom. The one off my bedroom. Gino sticks his tongue out. You need two, he says. You kissed me, Sid says. Deal with it. And he stays where he is to watch Gino's ass as he leaves. Until he remembers why they aren't in his bedroom to start with, and he nearly trips over the sheets in his eagerness to stop Gino getting there first. He's too late. Gino's already passed through his bedroom, apparently oblivious to the unstripped bed and the sex toys scattered around the place, and is digging around in the cupboard under the wash basin. Where are toothbrushes? He calls. Bottom shelf, behind the soap. Sid glances around and wonders if perhaps Gino was just so focused on fixing his morning breath that he didn't notice the giant fluorescent orange vibrator in pride of place in the middle of the bed, or the small pile of multicolored cock rings on the dresser, or the open dresser drawer with Sid's butt plugs and some of his dildos clearly showing, or the stainless steel urethral probe. Perhaps Gino had seen that, but had no idea what it was. Sid had been confused when he first unpacked it. Found them, Gino calls back. And Sid keeps looking round his bedroom, wondering if it's worth quickly tidying up. He gets as far as shutting his laptop, which is a bit pointless because it's run the battery flat and the screen's black, before Gino wanders out of the bedroom, toothbrush in his mouth. Sid says, and Gino ignores him to pick up the orange vibrator. He turns it on, wraps his hand around it as if it was a cock, and raises his eyebrows thoughtfully before turning it off and tossing it back onto the bed. He has a quick look through the cock rings before wandering back to the bathroom. Sid can hear him rinsing his mouth out, and then Gino comes back into the bedroom holding the butt plug that, oh yeah, Sid had left in the bathroom last night. So, Sid says, why you not want to fuck in your bedroom? Gino asks. You have sex here a lot, yes? Which wasn't what Sid had been expecting. Not really, he says. I mean, I have the, toys. He can't help muttering the last word. But I don't really. With people, I mean. You go somewhere else? Gino asks. No, I mean, I don't. With people. Sid rubs at his jaw. I mean, Ovi. And you. Which was much better than Ovi, he adds quickly. But nobody else. Gino's looking around and starting to smile. Toys all for you? Yeah, Sid admits reluctantly, and Gino's smile breaks into a broad grin. So fucking hot, he says delightedly. You use all of them? I watch? Maybe use on you? Sid blinks. If you want? I mean, yes, yes, definitely. Today? Gino says, looking hopeful. Sid glances at his watch. After practice, he says, because they should probably be getting a move on. Gino glances at his own watch, pulls a face, and tosses the butt plug onto Sid's bed. Yeah, after. You got towels? Need shower. And normally showering before practice would be pointless, but Sid concedes the point today. In the cupboard by the big bathroom. Got it, Gino says, and he pauses on his way out to look back at Sid. He pauses, leans on the doorframe, and folds his arms. Why we not fucking here? He asks. Bigger bed, more comfy. And it sounds ridiculous now, but Sid clears his throat and says, I thought you'd be freaked by the toys. I'm a bit, kind of, filthy. Didn't think you were. Filthy, Gino says, savoring the word. Thought you shiny clean. Is good you not? He grins wide as he turns away and calls back over his shoulder. Means I not freak you out with my toys. Sid looks at his own toys, thinks about Gino's toys. He really, really hopes that Dan doesn't pull a long practice today, because he has so many things to do afterwards. The end. Nigga, don't stop till our thighs and our toes cross. Nigga, don't stop till I can't breathe, till I can't believe what a super freak you are. You are. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this story at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong, And from there, you can find a link to the author's post. Thanks for listening!